Welcome back to another episode of Keeping Up With Data. It's been a very long time in the making, this podcast, so we're very excited to welcome Michael Pina today. Michael is MVP for Fabric Australia and Director of Playtime Solutions and Technical Advisor for Lumachain. So Michael, very welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, Sean. Yeah,
likewise, mate. Thanks for coming on. Yeah.
So this one is going to be very much focused around Fabric for everybody listening. Obviously, Fabric is a topical platform out there today. So Michael is the MVP and no better man to give advice, tips, and run us through what Fabric is all about. Yeah. So maybe a bit of an intro into yourself, Michael, where you've come from, your background, and fill the users in.
Absolutely, Sean. I think my background's a bit interesting, right? Because the way I see my career, I'm that person who've always been within Microsoft, but not in Microsoft, right? So that started with all the way to, you know, C#, Visual Basic. Mm. Windows Phone came in, if you guys remember that. Windows Azure came in before it was called Microsoft Azure. And a lot of my initial work was around lifting and shifting migrations on-prem to Azure, right? Mm-hmm. And as part of that, data comes in as well. And you know that means SQL Server migration, then Power BI came in, different flavors of analytics within Azure happened. And I was kind of like in that different roads and scenarios of still migrating on-prem to Azure, right? And when Synapse came in around, give or take 2016 onwards, I co-wrote a book about cloud scale analytics, about about data, and always been in that space, even about blockchain on Azure, right? So that's kind of like a thing that happened with me. So I've always been within data in Azure. And when Fabric came in, I was very skeptical, right? Like because as an MVP, that's probably one of the advantages as well. We're in, like, I see preview products out there before it was even publicly launched. And my initial take was that I am very skeptical about this because I'm coming from a platform point of view, right? Like, when you look at a product in the early days, you would be very skeptic for the good reasons, right? Like, it doesn't have private networking, it doesn't have this, it doesn't have that, it doesn't have that, right? Like, all of those questions in your head are kind of like putting in a perspective that this product is not ready, right? And obviously, if we do an apples to apples comparison, that's that same thing also happened to Power BI in the very early days, right? It was very flaky, you know, like a lot of issues here and there, and like you have a file size limit, you have this limit, you have that limit. But look at Power BI now, right? Like wherever I go all over the world, Power BI is one of those software that's loved, it's loved. Like there are people who are actually zealous about it, where you know, they would really become much more religious about Power BI. Same goes with things like Postgres and Linux and stuff like that. So I think I'm seeing the same thing with Fabric, where in the first 2 years or so that we've been having Fabric out in the wild, I'm seeing a lot of those early resistance, a lot of those early challenges that I was seeing with Power BI. Same goes with any other early stage SaaS, even a product, right? Mm-hmm. Even when Windows Phone came in back then, like you're looking at an ecosystem we're in. How is this going to compete with Android and iOS, right? Mm-hmm. When Azure came in, you're always comparing it. We're in, like, how is this different from AWS, right? So
That's life, isn't it? Comparison is the key.
Exactly, yeah. And I think that's the beauty of being a consultant as well by trade, you know, at Playtime, or in, like, we see things out in the wild, we talk to customers, we know what their requirements are, and it's our duty as consultants to actually bridge that requirement with the right set of technology, depending on the timing, the maturity, and obviously the budget, the resourcing, and their appetite to actually adopt certain technologies, right?
Yeah. So you've been traveling around the world in recent times, filling India, the UK, in about Fabric. What's the, I know there's the old saying that Australia is 5 years behind America and that sort of stuff. What's the take in, for example, India versus London on Fabric, and differences that you've seen from a receivership perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll probably start with India first, right? So I was in India about 3 weeks ago, right? And I was part of the whole AI tour partner readiness. And the beauty of that particular event is that I'm actually talking to partners, you know, who are already within the Microsoft ecosystem. You know, it's not like I'm talking to students who doesn't know anything, right? Yeah. Like these are like actual partners who are like working on with customers and clients and like doing real migrations, right? Real work, right? Mm-hmm. And their perspective is very informative in like, how is this really going to change the way things are with Power BI, right? Like the anchor will always be like, how is this different from Power BI? So how is Fabric different from Power BI? Because like Power BI is, again, we've come to a point where in Power BI is a software powerhouse that it, on its own, it's capable of many things, right? And then, and Power BI is a very, I would say, mature and well understood paradigm in India, right? And mm-hmm. like, and how does Fabric differentiate out of that? And so that's like majority of the question, right? And then obviously the answer would be Power BI is one of the subcomponent of Fabric, right? Like there's other capabilities like data science, data engineering, with some of those Synapse capabilities now ported into Fabric as a SaaS-based solution. And we're also looking at AI stuff happening in Fabric, right? So I think that's really majority of the angle in India that I've noticed. The other part in the UK, they're primarily looking at Fabric around and AI assisted fill in the AI trend and that kind of stuff, right? Yeah. So I think it's just the nature of like because most of the interactions I had with the people in India was coming from a big delivery center, right? Like working with, you know, supporting the analytics workload of the world pretty much, right? Like 24/7 versus when I was in London or I was meeting with like the architects who are kind of like considering designing applications from the beginning, right? That's why the hot topic right now around data governance and AI, how this Fabric fits into that picture. And you know, the way I see it, without going too much into the details, is that Fabric for me is a natural prerequisite before going to AI and even data governance, because, you know, as we keep saying, right, like garbage in, garbage out, and it's not just about that, but it's also about the understanding that AI is a natural extension of your database, pretty much, right? But that's oversimplification. It's a natural extension of your business data. What is your business telling you? Right, and that's coming from analytics and insights, right? So that's why AI, in a business point of view, is a natural extension towards that. However, obviously, there are still different AIs out there around like serving a B2C customer, you know, like LLM based around like you know, personal information and stuff like that. But purely coming from an enterprise or business point of view, I think data, the whole data landscape, is something you really need to figure out before going to adopt an AI strategy.
Yeah, I think speaking about the business as well, obviously Fabric isn't geared towards engineers. Obviously engineers want to have the coolest Databricks. I want to work on this. I want to use PySpark to integrate X, Y, and Z. I think that's the mindset shift people really need to have. It's not this cool tool that you're going to be able to do. Well, it is a cool tool, but you're not going to be able to do all the fancy things that you want. It's for the business to make it more simple for non-technical people. I suppose, could you elaborate a little bit more on that for what the main difference, business versus why it's not a cool tech tool in that sense?
Yes, so I think there are three answers for that one, Sean, right? Like the first one is because the natural anchor of Fabric is Power BI, and Power BI is already positioned towards that, right? Like it's meant to be, you know, the concept of self-serve reporting and stuff like that, that the salespeople can create their own Power BI dashboards and stuff like that, right? So that's one point. Second point is around Fabric being a, you know, having that same user experience of easy, you know, someone who just graduated year 12 or something like that, right? Like can actually go into Fabric and watch some, you know, tutorials from Learn or from some of my contents, right, out there to kind of like help them get productive straight away. Just like how easy was it back then doing simple applications using Visual Basic, right? That's kind of like the same kind of like target in terms of like how the UX is positioned with Fabric, right? Like very intuitive, UI first, UI tangible, but then it doesn't fall to the traps wherein like it becomes limiting. Same with Power BI, wherein like you can do everything by a GUI, but then there's still a lot of those, you know, DAX queries, all those M code that you can do. Same with Fabric, wherein like you can do everything via data flows, but if it comes to a point wherein you want to dig deep into coding, then there's the PySpark notebooks, and even Airflow and things like that is now supported in Fabric. So it really lands you into that continuity of like, hey, I just want to start really easy. And then if I have to go deep, then I can use different capabilities within the ecosystem.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting one. Like, obviously, the stigma with anything that's brand new is, as we discussed earlier, comparison. But I think the mindset shift needs to be, it's user-friendly.
It's there to support. It's not this cool, new, shiny tool. What would be the main differences when you look at it? Obviously, Fabric, there's a lot you can do within, and then you've got your Synapse, which is the warehouse component. Do you think there's a place in the business for both Fabric and Synapse, or is it important for people who are on Synapse to get into Fabric because they've got the same, I suppose, output from what they mm-hmm. can do?
Yeah, absolutely, right? And by the way, it's not just applicable to Synapse, but also applicable to something like Azure Databricks and even Snowflake, right? The way I see Fabric is that it doesn't necessarily have to be an all-in kind of like scenario that, and that's what makes it really fascinating as a platform, wherein like it's one of the few platforms out there that wherein you don't need to go all in, like migrate all of your data from a CRM, ERP to actually get started, right? You can always just kind of like pick and choose what kind of makes sense. So in that particular scenario, wherein it's a question of skilling and obviously adoption, right? Like if you already have teams, if you've already invested the millions of dollars in Databricks, Snowflake, and Synapse, right? You can't just go to another platform just on that basis of investment alone, right? Whether that's Fabric or not, that alone in terms of investment doesn't make logical sense to say, hey, we literally just launched this data platform 8 months ago. We've spent this much, and you're telling me, MJ, I have to spend this much again to move to another platform, right? Without even recuperating the ROI. However, as mentioned earlier, maybe you're already using Power BI, and that's where Fabric is still anchored on, right? Like, and in a very real use case out there, the number one, I would say, real use case for Fabric in those scenarios where you have a mature platform as a service, warehousing layer, you might be using the thing called DirectLake, wherein it's very a blazing fast reporting layer in Power BI, right? So instead of having Power BI service doing the whole concept of importing or doing a direct import towards a report, with DirectLake, you can already have kind of like that fast reporting because the data is the same or it sits on the same place where Power BI is. Right, so that's just one example. But then there's some medium term and long term perspective I have here, right? Again, going back to that resistance early on in Fabric, it kind of reflects on to me that most engagements, right, that I have to go to doing Synapse, Databricks, or even other kind of like modern data warehousing projects, the business have to spend a lot of time and resources just to spin up the platform, right? And that's the reality, right? Like, you can't just go out there and say, hey, we'll decide to use Synapse and, we'll move all the data there by tomorrow, right? That doesn't happen in the real world.
Yeah.
Same goes with Fabric, right? It won't happen. But the thing is, what Fabric offers this time around and what makes it different is that you don't need the expert like me or who I was back then to actually consider the whole architecture design to get started, right? Unlike Fabric, you already have Fabric in your tenancy. If you're a Microsoft customer, right? You already have one leg in there,
right? Now, maybe you have a capacity already in Power BI and you can use that to get started as well. Or if or even if you don't, you can just sign up for a trial. So the time to market or that concept of like, let's just get started is quite easy with Fabric, right? Versus like spinning up the whole architecture and stuff like that. But then again, obviously you need that bit when you go full enterprise, like full production scale, right?
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that what Fabric is also introducing this time around is that that concept of like time to market, time to value is quite easy, right? Like you have to, because we know in the enterprise, right? Like it's a matter of convincing people to use something, right? And if you don't have anything to show, then you won't be successful, right? Whether whatever platform you're using. But then with Fabric, you can literally just go there, sign up for a trial, come up with some reports, do some basic pipelines, show that to the customer, just like what I've been doing. That's why I'm selling a lot of Fabric these days, because coming up with a use case, coming up with their prototypes and their kind of like samples is quite easy. You know, like here's an Excel spreadsheet. Let's do some simple pipelines. Let's use some Copilot capabilities, ask about the data, AI capabilities, all of that. I can now do that in hours or days compared to before, if I have to do that in a PaaS or platform as a service capability, I have to factor in 2 weeks, right? Like almost a week, or even on a good day, maybe 3 days, right? Like, but again, the amount of that time to market or time to value is just dramatically, you know, squeezed because of how easy this becomes now.
Yeah, I think that's one of the precautions about it as well, is the vendor lock-in versus uncertainty around scalability. And if we scale and we are unsure, there's still new features getting added into Fabric, like how would you ease people's mind in that sense? Like there's a lot of people who I've spoke with who are, oh yeah, we're not sure, it's not ready, it's not mature enough. Where do you think the maturity is now in terms of businesses looking forward rather than the last 2 years of skepticalness around it?
Yes. So so I'll answer that in two ways, right? So the first one would be, there are customers out there, especially in the SMB and SMC market, right, that they don't have a warehouse at all. Like nothing, right? Like they have a couple of spreadsheets, they have a database, maybe they're calling that database as a warehouse, right? Their data lake, right? But that's about it, right? So there are those customers out there, right? But then telling them, hey, we have to spin up this amount and this and that to go production in, like, you know, in an enterprise way, it's gonna cost you this much, this long, with this 5, you know, data engineers by your team, by your recruitment company, right? So convincing an SMB, SMC who's making 6-7 mil revenue, right? That's not feasible, right? Versus going to Fabric and say, hey, let's start small. Like this is perfect for you because you don't have warehouse. You can skip the whole infrastructure service. You skip the whole PaaS layer. You jump straight to SaaS, right? So they really will benefit a lot, right? I would say, right? Those capabilities would be really a massive benefit for them.
However, there are the other customers who have been in that journey of like, they've been in the Microsoft ecosystem since forever, right? SQL Server, Azure, and so on and so forth. Now, there's that part wherein it's a case-to-case basis, obviously, right? But the natural path I'm seeing right now is that stick to where you are in terms of warehousing and engineering perspective, but use Fabric in the reporting and in the AI capabilities, especially if you want to go into the whole LLM route and that whole AI foundry and stuff like that. That's the way I see it.
That's where Big P comes in, I think, AI and LLM questions.
Yeah, it's a perfect segue. I mean, firstly, how does Fabric sort of support AI development workflows? You've spoken about all the data engineering principles, the foundations around that. But like you said at the beginning, it's a hot new trend. It's what everyone's talking about. So how can Fabric help those customers succeed with AI?
Okay. All right. So the obvious first answer around that is that what Fabric actually brings to the picture, and pretty much any analytical platform out there, right? It's like it forces the business to really understand their data. Right? Like compared to, hey, here's my database, another database, another database, with an analytical platform, it forces you to aggregate all of them and understand what that really means, right? So that's where a modeling comes in. You need to understand your dimensions, facts, or if you want to do the snowflake model, different modeling, right? Whatever it is. Now, that particular model is a natural extension to AI, wherein, like, if you say, hey, how much was our gross revenue last year, right? You won't come up with that answer by dumping all of the data to a vector database and let the AI compute that, right? You're gonna get that out of a query, which is a query coming from a highly curated and high quality data, right? So that's why Fabric and any analytical platform for me is a natural prerequisite just solely on that. But Fabric specific, especially if you're in the Microsoft ecosystem, and we know, at least I know, and I believe that Microsoft is leading the AI enterprise way, especially in the LLM. Azure OpenAI, you know, most use Azure service out there, right? The way I see it is that there's a natural extension because, you know, just looking at the tooling itself, like AI Foundry, OneLake and Fabric can be your source, and like there's a natural way to for you to create the whole agentic workflow as part of that, right? So again, just purely in that Microsoft ecosystem, it just makes sense, right? Yeah. For you to kind of like bridge that alone. However, there's also another angle around that wherein Fabric, just like any other, I would say, data engineering / data science platform, like Databricks and Snowflake, right, can become a natural anchor as well to do your data science stuff. So things like, because not everything needs to be LLMs, Sean,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's for sure.
Like, let's say doing forecasting about your sales, right? You don't ask LLMs to forecast your sales, right? You come up with your own model based off your historical sales record.
There's too much hype about it. That's why people want to, LLMs will do everything for me.
Yeah. So that sequencing of like creating the forecasting model, right? Mm. That's something you can do in a PySpark notebook, right? Come up with a model, put that into an experiment, deploy that model, and then use that in, you know, when you do reporting, you can do forecasting and stuff like that. So there's still a lot of those AI use cases out there that is kind of like super grounded to your data that is not really meant to be LLM-ish, right?
Okay, and so by that same virtue then, does that anchor into things like Gen AI, prompt engineering, fine-tuning models? You can then talking about those things as well?
Yes, absolutely, right? So even with Fabric itself, right? No one's stopping you to just call the OpenAI API or the DeepSeek API or any sort of like API and do it more into like a data-centric way rather than application-serving way, right? So that's why just purely on data engineering and data science, that thing is still out there, right? And you still have, what makes it a bit different this time around is that you have a concept of, you know, a capacity, and it's SaaS based, right? Rather than platform as a service based. So that means that an analyst who works on a department, right, can quickly go to Fabric, use a notebook called the OpenAI API, or even better, there's now this thing called AI functions, wherein within Fabric, it's tightly integrated with Azure OpenAI already. Then do this thing, right? Like, let's say each data coming from an import of that something from a, you know, a source, you can apply some Gen AI capabilities. Maybe things like, let's say, anomaly detection of some sort in terms of like, maybe, hey, is this a fraudulent case or not, you know, and things like that. And that goes into one of an actual real world example that I've heard when I was in London, wherein there's this one company who's actually using Azure OpenAI massively, right? Like each and every transaction that's happening, they actually used Azure OpenAI to do a first check audit, right? Like, hey, you're this auditor based off this, 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 and that. Do you think this transaction is valid, right? So, yeah, I mean, that's a valid use case for an LLM, right? But you're doing it in a data-centric way rather than serving the LLM to the customer, right? So that is another example of that one. However, just letting you know, that is costing them a lot. $67,000 USD per month. So
pocket change for some.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if it's a, it's about fraud and, like, you know, anomalies and stuff like that, I think the value is way more than the cost, right?
Yeah. Do you think there'll be a point in time where AI can do the full migration? Like, obviously people now are considering Synapse to Fabric, and that needs migration experts to be able to lift, shift, integrate, and get it all across. Do you think there'll be a stage in time, whether that's 2-5 years down the line, where AI is fully able to, you can tell it everything you need to do from a migration perspective, and it will be able to lift and shift it for you? Or where do you see that perspective?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. And I think I have two perspectives there. Like, the actual person or the analyst who needs to do that, I don't think that will go away, right? Like, someone still needs to understand what needs to be done, right? Or maybe, you know, that goes into the whole reasoning model as well, right? But at least in my perspective right now, in the way I see it, I don't think it's capable of that yet, understanding the full business requirements, right? Now, second, the way I see it is that could be a co-pilot capability, right? That's how I see it. We're in, like, hey, we come up with something like a Synapse to Fabric co-pilot, right? Like, scans all of your metadata in Synapse, all right? These are all your tables, these are all your pipelines, and, like, gives you a report of some sort, says, all right, this is ready for migration now. Like, for example, a pipeline can probably be migrated now, or maybe you don't need to migrate the table. You can just shortcut the, you know, the ADLS Gen 2 to Fabric, right? So I think it's more like a co-pilot use case rather than the AI doing all of that.
I agree. Yeah. It's definitely going to need someone to look at it, like.
100%. Yeah. And I suppose on that note around maybe misconceptions or thoughts about where it's heading, what are some of the biggest misconceptions you've seen, maybe in an enterprise environment or some use cases where clients are maybe not applying AI correctly or where they don't need to, like things like that?
Yeah, I mean, the number one, I'm like, very, you know, like when I see customers and, like, they talk to me and we have the very early conversation, right? Like, I always ask them, like, what sort of, like, use case are you looking for AI? And if their natural response would be to eliminate the workforce, right? that for me is a full misconception on of its own, right? Yeah. Because you didn't even understood what that workforce is doing, right? Let alone replacing that with an AI, right? But then, and that's where you wanna be much more, you know, objective about what sort of, like, use case are you really after, right? Rather than just, like, headcount replacement and stuff like that. You need to probably want to automate some of the functions or some of the, you know, functions of that role. And hence, you probably don't need 20 people. You need 10 highly specialized people, right, who are more like analysts talking to Gen AI, right? Maybe that's the scenario. But you don't fully just go and say, hey, we want to reduce 20 people, right? Like, without even understanding the actual function or what sort of, like, workflow are you trying to automate, or even not just automate, probably innovate as well, right? Because that's very important as well. There needs to be a really good differentiator from an agentic workflow than a human workflow, right?
I hope our clients are listening to that one. That's a good point, because I try to explain that to them sometimes. You have to understand what your data is, what your team is currently doing, instead of just pushing a big button and saying, if we want AI, just sort it out, because we want to reduce costs.
We want AI, just sort
us out.
Yeah.
Yeah, good to hear.
It's jumping on the train, isn't it? Train's leaving, right?
Yeah, and not to mention where we are right now with all of this LLMs, right? They're not cheap, you know, like, at scale. You know, I was talking about that particular function alone, right? Like, just an audit per transaction is costing them $67,000 per month, right? I mean, if you know, you're in the recruitment industry, I'm not, but, like, that $67,000 can buy a lot of people, right? buy a lot of talents, right? Like, actual, you know, talented people. So. Yeah, so that means that particular technology should really be that compelling enough that it can really compete with, like, saying, hey, why can't 10 analysts just, you know, monitor 10 million transactions per month, right?
Yeah,
Because they can't, right?
Simple. Simple and true.
Yeah.
I suppose one question I'm sure everybody wants to know would be, what excites you the most about Fabric?
Right.
I know you're very excited about everything about it, but maybe one or two things that you're like, this is the best use case, this is the best value.
Yes, all right. And again, probably I'm also very lucky, and because I'm in the very, very nice position where I am right now, right? And like, I use Fabric, you know, in the wild with customers, right? Like real customers, like enterprise and like, you know, mid-tier SMB, SMC, right? And I'm also Microsoft MVP, and as part of that, I get to talk to the actual Microsoft product people, right? Like people who are building this thing, right? And at the same time, I'm also a trainer. So like I you know, and speaker per se, right? And doing this, right? So it gives me a really good angle on how all of this plays in together, because different set of people have different point of view and like different requirements and stuff like that. That gives me a really good, you know, like experience or like perspective as well on the product, right? And what makes me excited about Fabric is that, you know, it's the potential is just big in terms of like the, people just don't see it now, but like if you look at something like a one SaaS based solution out there, right, like Salesforce, which is kind of like niche down to a specific, I would say, industry, or to an extent, right, mostly HR and stuff like that, but we're talking about Fabric, which is a platform, and you're doing that in a SaaS-based manner, right? Just thinking of that alone, and if I don't know if you'd know, but maybe people don't know, but there's still so much on-prem SQL Server out there, right? There's still so much, you know, data on Excel out there, right? And there's gonna be more, and there's gonna be this, and there's gonna be that, and having a SaaS-based solution 10 years from now to say, hey, we have something like Salesforce, but on a platform level, right? With all of these capabilities, right now we are looking at around 5 major workloads. And then if you look at the future, we're in like maybe there will be another workload that's specific for this industry, let's say for supply chain, for this, for that, mining, and so on and so forth. All of your data products that you've developed back in the 90s, you can migrate that to the modern world of SaaS, right? That makes me excited, right? Like, that's why I keep telling people that Fabric is like the heart of your data, right? It's like the natural vessel to go into wherever you are, whether because one way or the other, the data is something that holds dear to your business, right? It's important to you, you know. It's that. That's why the conversation of moving data platforms is harder than deciding between Angular or React, because, you know, you can convince someone to change one web framework from the other, but telling them to migrate their data and telling them that when we do migration, your data now lives there.
Yeah.
Right? So that's why I'm very excited, because there's just so much opportunities out there. That's why when people talk to me lately, we're in like, hey, there's a grad, or I don't know what am I gonna do with my career, where should I go and stuff like that, right? I'm encouraging them to look at AI, but coming from a data point of view, right? And you can choose many different options, such as Fabric, but obviously Fabric is good contender, again, mainly for the easy onboarding and stuff like that. But the way I tell them, right, like this platform, Fabric, is now creating a new reset with all the partners out there, right? Like you have 30 years of T-SQL experience, cool, you can still use that here. But then so is someone who knows how to click a button, right? But so is someone who knows how to analyze data, right? So is someone who can visualize data and kind of like have that, you know, eye candy look and feel of stuff, right? That's why I see it as more like an inclusive platform wherein wherever you are in your journey, you can literally just get started, right? Like, I didn't come from a T-SQL background. I came from a development, turned into platform, and now into data. And I think I'm understanding the product really well, because, like, it's positioned to be more than just one role, right? Yeah. It's not just about the DBAs. It's not just about data engineers, right? It's positioned to be more than just that, but then still anchored towards the business, right? Like, you want to serve the business. Yeah, and that's why I think that's what makes me excited about the platform.
The name is Michael John Pina, but I'm going to call you the Michael Jordan of Fabric.
Oh, well, thanks for that.
If that makes any sense. But I think we're coming to a natural end of... Is there any final tips that you give? Like, one question I have that I haven't asked would be, is the dream customer someone who's still on your on-prem, using SSIS, SSAS, hasn't even done a Databricks, hasn't done a Fabric or a Synapse or anything like that, fully on-prem? Yes. Is that the dream customer to go, right, Fabric, let's go?
Yeah, and even better, right? Like, those who are on-prem and wants to remain on-prem, like SQL Server 2025, there is an actual first-class support to move and mirror your data to Fabric. So Fabric has this technology called mirroring, wherein back in the days, we have a concept of OLTP and OLAP, right? So transactional versus analytical. So what that means in a layman's term is that if you have a database mainly for transaction, meaning you're inserting a lot of records and updating, right? You don't want to use that same thing for an analytical use case, because you don't want someone to do a select star 10 million rows to that database, right?
It's the cubes, isn't it? The
OLAP cube? Yeah. If you do that, then this database stops and the application hangs, right? Like, it won't be usable because, like, oh, like nothing happens. I click the submit button, but you know, nothing happens because the database is frozen. Yeah. Now, to address that, you create a read-only replica of that one. So that means that this analytical services talks to the read-only replica, so you don't disrupt the transactional workload, right? Now with Fabric, they kind of like use that same concept, but in a kind of like reverse way, wherein like Fabric is doing the replication for you, so that the transactional workload, like Azure Cosmos DB, Azure SQL, and so many others out there, including on-prem and other workloads, they won't be affected, but Fabric will be the one in charge of replicating that data so that you can use that for analysis, for AI, for and so on.
Amazing. It's got all the answers then.
Yeah. There you go.
So word on the street is, contact Michael Pina if you need to get anything Fabric related. Michael, great to chat about Fabric.
Yeah.
Obviously, a lot of listeners are going to get a lot of benefit from this one, and if people have any questions or burning questions that we didn't touch on today, reach out to myself or Michael and let your questions become answers.
Probably I do have a question for you. How is the recruiting market is with Fabric lately?
I think a lot of people are flirting with it in the sense of, we've heard about it, we like the idea of it, we like the concept, but the comparison of what we've got versus pricing, and obviously pricing right now is very much at the forefront of people's brains.
Yeah.
People have migrated to it, people are using it, people are using it in limited cases. So it is exactly as you said, it's like, it can be done in very small, just reporting suites, or you can do the full warehouse, absolutely everything for the business. So I think the people who get it and understand the value, I'd say maybe the people that you spoke to or heard your talks might be on it. But I think it's slow.
But in terms of skills as well, like in the general market out there of like talents out there, like, are you seeing it more like coming from Power BI upskilling to Fabric, or like Synapse coming to Fabric?
Way more reporting people. And market analysis on it in a sense, just LinkedIn users. And I think there's probably only in or around 300 to 400 people in the country who are
coming from a data engineering.
Who have it listed on their profile, Fabric, when if you think about it in the bigger picture, Australia's got probably about 200,000 technology folk out there. Where are all of these other users? So
it's slow and steady. The more it gets out there, the more these podcasts happen, the more talks you go to, the more people listen to it. But I think it is definitely still got a lot of skepticism, which is why I was excited to bring you on to.
Yeah, absolutely. And that makes it really wonderful experience for me as well. You know, you don't just want to come to a picture in, hey, use this product and off you go. You know, it's not like, you know, I'm going to nitpick on Copilot, but like, I don't want to just sell licenses, right? Like, there's a value of me being a professional and doing professional services, because, you know, we want to onboard customers to this experience, to this journey and stuff like
education
that.
Education first.
There's education aspect as
education,
well.
Education, there's the value. Let the sheep come in now.
Exactly, yeah.
But look, a pleasure to have you, Michael. I'm looking forward to getting this one out to the network. And that's a wrap, folks.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.